isn't...
And if we could leave maybe questions to the end of the presentation.
Okay. Members, thank you for the opportunity to make a presentation. I was instructed by the Council to cover a number of aspects in regard to a consultation on a programme for local government, our own work plan, and indeed a request which has been sent out to the other 10 councils in regard to the provision or otherwise by the Northern Ireland Housing Executive of social housing, a request by the Housing Council. So there's three legs to the stool. I'm aware, as you're aware, most of you, that NLGA is the representative body for the councils in NI and has the strapline of the voice of local government, but I'm aware of many members in this chamber who have very loud voices and hopefully articulate ones as well on behalf of the sector. Just hoping the clicker works. I'd be happy to do that. I'll be guided by you, Chair. Okay, great. Okay. Of your agenda, and I'm at the start of it. May not be here at the end of it, but. From the perspective of what was required of me, members, through you, Chair, you will have received the principles, the document on the programme for local government and the 10 asks of the new Assembly. In one sentence, what we are saying on behalf of local government is that once all the hubbub and fuss is over, come the end of May, we would ask that 11 councils and their political leadership, in conjunction with senior staff, are able to stand together with ministers in the new Northern Ireland Assembly and ensure that each of the community plans of the new councils form the foundation of the investment in the budget for the Northern Ireland Executive. You spend, in total, about £1 billion of the £20 billion public purse. What we're saying is you're independent from the Assembly, but you should be able to markedly influence the spending, budgets and forecasts of the new Assembly, because your community plans, this community plan in Uri Mourne and Down, is effectively an investment foundation for what and how and who should spend public sector budget in the years ahead. Chair, in terms of the council-led work plan, again, you will be aware that having reconstituted and having received feedback from the 11 sovereign councils, a work plan has been proposed and gone to you and the other 10 councils. Support for that, obviously, in order to do the jobs we do, which have been sought by you, is what today or tonight is about as well. And again, briefly, the role of the Northern Ireland Housing Executive at the moment, Chair, you'll be aware that since the mid-1990s, that body, have not engaged in building social housing. The point is, in terms of NLGA and the debate that was raised in NLGA in December, was that there is no fixed view in local government. So what do you do when there's no fixed view? You go out to the 11 councils and you bring together what the various strands and views are. At the moment, there are four housing associations. Our suggested, recommended way forward would be that before we decide or propose that the Northern Ireland Housing Executive becomes a house builder, Chair, what we should do firstly is ensure that the four housing associations themselves, in terms of their performance, are provided with a consistent economic planning and related performance indicators, and that Northern Ireland Housing Executive, it should be form, follow, function. In the short time available for the presentation, Chair, I also wanted to ensure that you were given a weather warning about what's to come in terms of local government throughout these islands in the period ahead. And again, sorry, but let me move it forward. It's unacceptable, members and officers of any council, for us to sit back and to have a reactive view on what's going to happen in local government. Not just because your constituents and councils as a sector and the partners you have would find it unacceptable, but ultimately, in order for councils and councillors to be political and constituent leaders, they have to anticipate problems before they start. So, little point in everyone sitting around mechanistically setting up subgroups and committees, saying we'll do what other people, including the Assembly and the new departments, do, because basically then you'll just be hived off. You'll be 11 administrations fulfilling the obligations of somebody else's determinants, not your local constituents. You could move to the next slide. For those of you who haven't got perfect vision, there's a couple of key points in there in terms of the acceptable council. And I'll just draw your attention to the last one. The main and most important part that councils play is decentralising power from provincial, regional government and eradicating any sense of deprivation, creating growth in your local economy. And you are good at that. Now, that acceptable council quote doesn't come from the UK, doesn't come from the Dáil, doesn't even come from Brussels. That's actually how municipalities in Pakistan work, members. And, Chair, it's worth pointing out that in both the Netherlands and in Pakistan, 88% of the public purse, 88% of your tax pound is driven by local municipalities. No prizes for guessing what it is here, and for those of you, including the Chair, that have been here before, even with planning, you currently have 6% of the public purse. Now, compared to Dunleary and Dumfries, they have 25-26. But the big warning, the weather warning, Chair, is that under no circumstances would we in Nilga, or anyone else for that matter who is supportive of local government, say more power unless you get the resources to do the job. Moving to the next slide. All I wanted to highlight in terms of the additional points about the programme for local government is what could be described, for those of you who would be aware of it, of a constitutional issue. Last week, this day last week, in Westminster, Chair, an all-party group proposed the economic practicalities of devolution. Now, what does that actually mean to ordinary people like myself from Kilmore? What that actually means is that they are asking the question of the devolved assemblies. Where does devolution stop? Why has it stopped in NI and Wales and Scotland where it is? And how can we sweat the asset of the UK public purse? We know that there are several jurisdictions that we need to take cognizance of, and the issue in Europe, Chair, is also about sweating the asset there. So in terms of Nilga having won for the 11 councils the European Entrepreneurial Region Award for all of Northern Ireland, what we're also saying is thank you for the devolution question, but we also need to get our sleeves rolled up. We need to position ourselves in Europe. No matter how badly or well NI has performed in terms of European funds, we now have investment banks, central banks, UK loan infrastructure guarantee schemes in order to try and draw down more money, more investment for local economies without raising rates. And that's the big question over the coming years. How do you perform the services you want without additionally taxing ratepayers and visitors here? So that's part of the brief presentation. I didn't go into any detail because I think many of you have been killed by PowerPoint, death by PowerPoint. You've already got the information, and from my point of view, tonight was merely about saying, supporting the principles of the programme for local government and our work plan, and getting your views, not mine, on the role of the housing executive and council. So that's the three legs of the stool. I have literally sat down and open to take any questions or queries you have, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Could open to see your light on?
Yeah, just three questions at different levels. I know there's still suggestions that perhaps we will inherit powers and, of course, the resources for those powers, potentially in the area of roads or development going forward. Is that still on the cards? At a much lower level of importance. The whole area of councillors paying tax on expenses staff and management not. I know it's an ongoing chestnut and you've been dealing with it. What progress are you making there? And the third one is the whole area of telecommunications for councillors in the legacy council, in the face of management suggesting that councillors couldn't have phones and broadband. I sent FOIs to 25 other councils and referred the matter to the auditor, and the auditor did a report confirming what I said was correct in the fact that other councillors were giving councillors phones, either straight up free gratis and for nothing, or asking them to make a small fee towards them and their broadband systems where they were being used at home. Unfortunately, we had a merger then, so the audit report didn't flow through for any action. And then the new council, the down council managers responsible for that area, took over the jobs in the new council. I'm having to go straight back to square one. So I've sent out the freedom of information requests to the 10 other councils to find out what they're doing. I'm in the process of referring the matter to the internal auditor. The internal auditor will inevitably come back in about 6 or 7 months' time and say that I was absolutely correct, and we'll be back to where we were 3 years ago. Perhaps you could save us the trouble of all that by telling us what they do in other councils, because clearly if we can have phones which are backed up by council systems, and when we lose our phone, we don't lose our names and addresses, and if we have a very much cheaper cost, it's cheaper for us, it's cheaper for council, if we have a logical system for phones, telecommunications and broadband, etc. What do they do in other councils?
Dogan, in relation to your first query, I think Derek can take that on. The other two are really for NAC, National Association of Councillors. So the wrong association in front of you. But if you're happy enough to answer the first part of that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, again, out of courtesy to the questioner, I mean, Andy, our colleagues in the National Association of Councillors are very much keen to bottom out the issue on councillors paying taxes on expenses. It is unfortunately lengthy and complex, and there are variances across the English councils as well, which are being bottomed out. In regard to the first question of the councillor chair in terms of powers, the 2007 draft Local Government Act clearly had local roads, libraries and on-street parking as part of the transfer of powers. The 2010 did not. Now, that was because in the time intervening, a certain assembly arrived. In terms of what is proposed in our programme for local government, all we're saying to the 11 sovereign councils is that in any contemporary enterprising society, one would expect that the local authority would be responsible for things like emptying gullies. If one goes on the Northern Ireland Direct website, you can see, because I had an issue, and grateful to the councillors who assisted me on the Rockchapel Road when my road was underwater since the 22nd of December, you click on the NI Direct site and you get click here to check which local authority does the gully emptying. You click and it goes back to a central service. That is because they cut and pasted it from England. So to me, what we're saying is that during this mandate, we need a big strategic experience, professional conversation with central government so that the right functions are positioned in the right organisation, but that you're resourced if you are getting extra powers. And regarding that point, and it's very important to state, at the moment, you're about month 9 into the first 12 months of a new council. We, along with finance officers and colleagues in SOLAS, are preparing a financial impact review of the cost of reform. And the reason for doing that isn't to tell you it's costing you X million per council. It's to enable councils to sit down and negotiate a proper contract so that any new burdens will be, you will be indemnified and you will get the resources in order to do the job, rather than being told, here's a great power, can you deliver the service? By the way, fund it yourself. Now, in regard to the other two questions, as say HMRC and the National Association for Councillors, and I'm happy to work within your protocols, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Walker.
Chair, just agree with everything Derek has said there. You know, we go out, we're seeking, we're maybe getting new powers and that, but Derek's right, I think he mentioned it there. We need to make sure the proper funding's coming along with the powers, because we were sold a couple of pups, to be honest. One was car parks and that. We were told we'd be getting X number of pounds. Nothing had really come along with that there. And it's a millstone round a lot of councils' necks. There's a lot of stuff out there that the new authorities could be doing if we were getting the money, such as Derek's mentioned there. Gully emptying and that. If we were getting the money to do that, I would say it would be done properly when council's doing it. So it would. It would be done properly, so it would, when council's doing it, because you only have to look inside town boundaries where councils may be responsible for. They are up to standard, a lot of it. Well, 99% is. But when you go outside the boundaries, it leaves a lot to be desired, to be honest with us. So we need to make sure that we lobby and get the funding. And I know people like Derek and that, when they do go to ministers and that, they will lobby very hard. I know Nilga will lobby very hard, but we, as a local authority, needs to lobby as well. And just one other point in relation to telecommunications and that there. I thought that's what we get our basic allowance for to pay things like that. We have our iPads, we have our computers. I think that's enough.
Chair, just again to pick up on what Councillor Walker has said, if you look at the spending constraints and the responsibility constraints on councils, and you couple that with the spending constraints on the Assembly, then it's quite clear that unless we are lobbying creatively and firmly, then you will be sold more pups. Our view, for example, and the position which has been adopted by many councils on the review of business rates in NI, is that there should be, during this mandate, a discussion, no more, no less, around the ability of councils to vary non-domestic rates, to create things such as business improvement districts, retail improvement districts, but only to do so in a way that gives you the control of the outcome. In other words, something like in Europe, where you can start to bring investment in rather than tax people in order to get things done. So there are numerous precedents. It's about time, I think, from our perspective in local government, that we looked upon reform merely as the first chapter in a brilliant new book for the councils. But there is a weather warning there. Be careful what we ask for, because you could end up asking the people who vote for you to pay for it. And that's not strong democracy.
Hi, Sir Craig.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. Just a brief comment, and I'd like to commend Derek on a very good paper. And certainly I would agree with the thrust of the paper. There's no doubt that the two spheres of government, central government and local government, have got to really work together more effectively and have a shared goals and shared targets. And that can only be done through collaboration. And I see this as a golden opportunity to achieve that. I must say, with like other councillors, I'm sure they were totally disappointed about DSD withholding the local regeneration transfer of powers to us there. That was very disappointing. But we really should be pushing for transfer of new functions and resource allocation, proper resource allocation to go with it. But we do need some sort of measures built in to, with collaboration with local and central government to see how effective it's working, because otherwise it's just words. And words, I mean, they can be dispensed with easy. We really need some sort of performance or some sort of measures to see how effective it is really going to work, partnership with local and central government.
Chair, as it happens, I feel like the old television programme, Blue Peter. We are lobbying Lord Morrow tomorrow, or a meeting with him tomorrow. And the purpose of that is to say, OK, the legislation slipped, but on, can during this year you put in place a mechanism where councils have the primacy. They have the authority to use the resources of others until such times as the legislation finally, after a period of constipation, slips its way through the Assembly, because it ain't going to happen before Purdah in March. So give councils the control of the regeneration budget without having to keep tipping one's cap to DSD officials. Now, I know a lot of good partnership exists. A lot of very good partnership exists. So that's something that we're doing. We're also working with OFM-DFM in regard to an application under Interreg to materially assist all 11 councils with finance to avoid you having to put match funding forward if EU municipalities, other municipalities in Europe working on small business development want to partner with you. Now, I'm not here to support or loathe Europe. I'm just saying that while we have got to find money from Europe to sweat the asset till 2020, I want to try and give you the funding so that you don't have to find the lever funding to work with partners there. So whether it's small business, which is the lifeblood of this region, or whether it's working more strategically on a new programme for government, we will be there, we'll be professional, and we won't give up, because local government is the most efficient part of the public sector. It just needs to be recognised as such.
Councillor Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair, and more or less, Derek, again, for your presentation, and a lot of stuff. You've worked hard, along with other members and officers, to make sure our voice is heard where it matters. But you touched earlier on about the 2007 piece of legislation which never seen the light of day, you know. And at the moment, a lot of councillors here would be frustrated with the fact is that whenever you're dealing with an issue, oh, the housing executive owns this, council has that, road service have the other. I think realistically what we need more harmonisation from central government and to exactly what our roles are, because at the moment, you know, as you know yourself, you know, there is a lot of frustration there. The fact is powers that were promised to be devolved to councils haven't come this way yet. But I think realistically, when you look at the functions of councils in the Republic of Ireland, and I know Councillor Riley touched on the comments one time about the state of how nice and tidy the verges and everything was. In fact, it was one local authority that dealt with everything in that remit, and why can it not happen here? I think stronger harmonisation and more devolution of powers to local government should be the overall aim and aspiration of these councils, so it is. And I think I'm not taking anything away from existing officers and the likes of Transport NI or anything, but I think realistically, with local officials in charge, we know our areas, we know where we can allocate the funds to, and we need the funds from Stormont to be left intact, not a smash and grab rate.
Well, Chairman, the responses we've got, and we've got 19-20 responses to the programme for local government to date. We've extended the deadline because of palpable interest from bodies such as the Federation of Small Business and Colleges NI, not just public servants. They are highlighting the things such as local transport infrastructure and skills development should be devolved to councils. Now, again, it's not for Nilga to say, yeah, okay. It's to develop the political environment to allow those discussions to happen so that come the next mandate, if you want to stand and you're voted back in, you will actually have a practical devolution of the powers that the member chairman is talking about. But, you know, a further example of that would be what is now being called coastal adaptation. There is the risk, whether one buys into climate change or civil contingencies, emergency planning, the risk that some of this district will be underwater in a few years' time permanently, not just the rain that's coming over from the Atlantic at the moment. Our view on that wasn't just to accept, with all respect, the Minister for Roads, the DRD Minister's call for a forum to be set up. We piggybacked on the back of what happened across the water over the last 5 years. And believe it or not, over the last 5 years, a central government department funds councils for coastal adaptation work and funds small businesses through a tax break. They don't pay VAT if they are partnering with their local authorities in areas like Suffolk. That's innovation. That's not new burdens. That's using the small business economy to work against problems such as coastal erosion. But it's incentivising from central government rather than saying, let's create a forum and let's ask if councils can pay for coastal erosion. So it's all these things are part of the weather warning, no pun intended, and we are very open to creative partnership with each of the councils and working in partnership, of course, with the chief officers, including Mr. Hannaway, who happens to be the chair of SOLIS, in case you didn't know that. You still the chair? Pardon me, chair.
Another week. Another week. Councillor Burns.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Derek. Derek, just a very broad brush question. The collaboration we're all talking about, the harmonisation between local government and central government, I suppose the community planning, from what I can see, would be the biggest opportunity to allow that to happen. We've started developing our community plans, and what we're finding is when we go to statutory partners in particular, that a lot of them are bought in name only, and that hasn't filtered down from Stormont yet. That if there's a financial gain or an efficiency saving on their behalf, they're bent over backwards to get involved, but otherwise they're just bought in name only. It would be our view that we need to have very robust plans made and very overarching plans, and it certainly would be an aspiration of our party that the community plan that we develop here should not just inform but actually should really shape the programme for government in future times to go. That's the sort of level that we would like our community plans to be strategically operating at. But for me, one of the biggest feelings, and having been involved in it for a short period of time, was the partnership panel. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is there anything the ILGA can do that we can better use that tool? Because for me, the partnership panel is the missed opportunity, because if we can inform through the partnership panel the executive, then they can instruct all our statutory partners to properly engage with this process in the manner that it should be done.
Chair, there's two elements to that. Starting with the last one, which is the partnership panel, you're absolutely right. The partnership panel should not be a mechanistic process whereby one or two ministers and 25 local government people take mutual therapy discussing what they can't afford. It should be about setting a policy so that the outcomes of the design of the next programme for government is something that's done in true, proper partnership. But to help that and to assist the improvement of the partnership panel, that's why we fought and fought hard to maintain a joint secretariat. In other words, it wasn't going to be one department being in control of the agenda. That's why we've adapted the work plan for partnership panel members, which has been obviously passed through to the chiefs and the councils. And that's absolutely crucial. But the partnership panel, Chair, has got to deal with policy and political leadership. It can't get involved in operational issues. But what we have said about the partnership panel, through you, Chair, to Councillor Burns, is we've requested that the First Minister and the new Northern Ireland Executive Ministers after the election stand with local government leaders from across the 11 councils, supporting full recognition of community plans from a statutory, a budgetary and corporate perspective, so that part of that 20 million can be prioritised by your and into your community plan. That's partnership rather than paying lip service to partnership. And, you know, I hope that that's at least in part answered the question. We're up for improving the partnership panel. I think we've got too much government here, far too much government. It's too complex. It needs to be reduced in size. We need better governance. And we think the partnership panel can help to create policy. But then it will be down to the sovereign councils to take on the opportunities and deliver them as 11 independent or cross council working.
Okay. Declan?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And thank you, Derek, as well. Certainly, it's a massive subject. Sorry, but I'd like to certainly, I would obviously encourage the association to continue to strive for more and more devolution, really, because it does make common sense. I'm talking about devolution down from Stormont. It does make common sense. One thing that struck me was, well, before I move on, maybe you should mention the housing side first. I do think certainly it's quite obvious that if you've got quite an efficient organisation running smoothly, like the housing executive, although they had its critics and talked about rejuvenation of it and certainly rejigging of it, I do think it's actually better, because there's a lot of evidence that the housing associations, while on paper look fine, in practice, you know, their service doesn't always live up to the standards that we would have expected of the Housing Act standards. There's also certainly questions over some of the build, the amount of new build, and the geographical location of that. I mean, I was approached last year now, actually, with the figures that show that there was very little new build in this southern region compared to the northern part of the north of Ireland. And there's quite allegations, certainly, of favouritism towards certain parts of the country. So, you know, that has entered into the whole fray. But going on just on the general terms, I mean, my own opinion is, and this is why I'm saying that the association should really, you know, waken up to, as opposed to the reality of this, is that we can make the very best of plans, but if you haven't got, you know, a serious partner in senior government, then everything, you know, our community plans can all fall by the wayside, because they're all so dependent on the honesty at the end of the day of the executive in terms of what our plans are, and then the support of that with spending. And I would like to see some, you know, serious negotiations on behalf of the 11 councils with Stormont, not for a one-year programme, but certainly it needs to be a 5 to 10-year programme of works. You know, if just for example, you know, if our community planning, and you can bring everything into it, you talk from, you know, if we're talking about providing a health service that fits with the current reports that are coming in, that you need high-speed access routes throughout rural areas to get to the main hospital. I'm only giving this as an example, right? And everything's pointing to, you know, must close down some of the local hospitals, but you will be treated at a better hospital, and that's the economic way to do it. That must be followed through by certainly this council's assertion that there has to be a proper road infrastructure throughout the whole area to make it all stack up. These are all the obvious things. So if you go down that road, you're going to have to get into a serious negotiation with a long-term plan to make this all work. You know, and I think that is where the real work needs to be done. And it's I keep reiterating, I suppose you repeat myself in a certain degree, but it's not a short-term plan, it is a long-term plan. And all I see around me is resistance. You know, the DSD minister came down and sold us, yes, your £4.5 million to spend. Year one it was gone, now year two. Again, we don't have local powers as well. And, you know, I would probably feel very frustrated as a councillor, as a group of people who do want to do work on the ground. And I do think that we have been used as a substitution for the lack of progress in Stormont and a stagnation in you know, in the ability to actually do anything. So that's just by way of comment, and certainly love you to take those points forward, really, for what you call a super plan.
Well, I mean, the comments, I've distilled out of them, long-term, sleeves rolled up, factual negotiation, which is to say that an infrastructure plan, a new economic strategy for here has to be one that is driven by both, but that the resources have to be deployed to allow councils to do the job. That's absolutely within our gift as an association. This isn't about knee-jerk. This isn't about finding, 250,000 underneath the carpet. It's about the long-term provision of local government to better and drive the economy of NI, and I appreciate that. The member mentioned trust, and he is absolutely right. Until the competencies and the confidence of local government is built up during this mandate, which is why we would be pushing, for example, for the same code of conduct that MLAs have for you. You shouldn't have a situation where councillors have higher restrictions in terms of your ethical standards, code of conduct, than your colleague MLAs. It should be the same as it is in Wales, for example, and we took our advice from that. But all of this is about planning for the long term, Chair. And, you know, I also believe, just going back to the first element of the members' discussion, in regard to the Housing Council, in regard to the Housing Executive, whoever delivers social housing here has to take cognizance of your area plan and your local needs in your local area. You shouldn't be told, we have a budget for 6 houses in Ardglass. Where are you going to build them? I don't know. You should be able to set the agenda of whoever is a social housing builder. And the only way you're going to be given that is that if you stand together with central government, ministers, permanent secretaries, the lot, and you're told, we're now going to treat you seriously. You're a partner for the long haul. But it's a battle, because there isn't the ideology there. And when a councillor goes to meet an SNP minister in Scotland, usually the minister and the permanent secretary, for constructive reasons, is frightened. I don't want local government to be feared. I want it to be respected. And that's what we need, all of us.
Okay, councillors, I don't see anybody else with their light on. I'm not missing anyone. No. Very quickly, Cadogan.
Just a small one with regard to variation in rates. Sure, you're all aware that our small market towns, and indeed Newry itself, have been badly affected by both out-of-town shopping and, of course, by the move to the internet. And we have the upward marching of rates year on year on year, despite the fact that we know that the trade has completely gone out of certain towns and villages and out of certain streets. That whole idea of mitigating areas where we know that streets or villages are dying, and we know that the trade has moved elsewhere, and doing something about the rates. Anything you can say about that?
Well, Chair, there was a very robust discussion week before last, somewhere in Belfast. I can't remember where, because it was raining and I just turned up, and I was speaking about local government's view on business rates, and it's for local government to be able to be part of the redesign of our taxation system, not just the review of business rates. I am not advocating the following comments in response to Councillor Enright's query, but I am putting them out there. Tourist tax, a tax on internet businesses, because if you can gain income from businesses who aren't on the high street, and if you can gain income from those who are fortunate enough to be visiting places like Downpatrick or the Peninsula, then from our perspective, all we're saying is that there should be a better way to finance the public services, because the current way is no longer fit for purpose. Now, the Land and Property Services Director, who works to DFP, has pointed out that there will be no material change within the mandate of this local government. There are proposals to allow variation on business rates, but there isn't widespread appeal for any of the things, including the things I've advocated. All I'm saying in brief response to the councillor who asked a very insightful question is that we're open for creative ways to fund the public sector, because the current system, the rates, 600 million is got from business rates, and Northern Ireland costs 20 billion. Now, we can't keep financing the public sector the way we do, so we have to be open for business. And where does innovation tend to come from? With all due respect to ourselves as senior officers, it tends to come from the bottom, and I think innovation will come from local government looking at creative ways to finance their towns. But they need to be given the trust and the freedom to do it, and you need to be given the partnership, as Councillor Burns and the previous speaker has said.
Okay, councillors, I think that's everybody now. There's a consultation response within your papers, so what we need to do now is to make it a recommendation from full council. Yeah. So if we have a proposer.
Well,
proposed Gareth and seconded Declan. Okay, and just also, councillors, just to remind you is that the rates meeting on Wednesday of this week has now been cancelled. So if you could put that in your diary, and any other colleagues that aren't here, if you could pass it on to them. The officers need more time because they've stashed the money that well, they don't know where they put it. So could I finish by thanking Derek again for his attendance here tonight, and no doubt we'll see him in the future again.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having a discussion with members in my home council.
You'd be hoping for low rates too then, Derek.
Absolutely. And gullies empty. Thanks to the members and to you, Chair.